This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Ray Ferraro in just a moment. Richard Petty later in the hour. Richard Petty, obviously well aware of what it's like to build stadiums and seek advice. Apply that advice. I guess you got to probably whip up some votes with the city, with the province, maybe on a federal level as well. And there's a lot going on, clearly, in the world with COVID and everything else. And the piece in the Globe today about the Jays potentially looking at building a new stadium also included the idea of building condos and living spaces. And
yeah, you got to be a mover and shaker to be involved in a deal like that.
Yeah, it's a monster. You talk billions and billions of dollars.
You got to be a heavy hitter. You got to jump through hoops. And
I wonder who made the pitch. Like, would this be Shapiro that would make that pitch? Or
I think that goes above Shapiro. He doesn't go up to the Rogers family and says, hey, we want a new ballpark. No. I don't think that flies like that.
He was brought in as a guy that knows how to work a new stadium. I believe they built and have a new stadium in Cleveland based on his timeline. And I know he was supposed to come in here with the idea of upgrading the Rogers Center. This would be a completely different level of project.
Yeah, maybe he is, Brian. Maybe he is the head of it. But I would – just my first guess would be it would be above his head as far as this project.
Yeah, and some people trying to connect the dots on a timeline, like would you be able to build this and could it work into the World Cup in 2026? Maybe, you know, if you get shovels in the ground sooner rather than later, maybe you could have something working for you in terms of 2026. I saw someone tweet in and ask if there's an NFL connection, and I just don't see that happening because the NFL would demand the stadium was built based on their needs. And their wants. I mean, the NFL, they don't cater to what you're willing to offer. They tell you what has to happen. So I don't think you're building a baseball-first park and then hoping to share it with an NFL team. That just doesn't fly. You know, it doesn't happen in the NFL.
No, the NFL doesn't need that. Like, people want to jump on that moving train. They're not desperate for expansion, not desperate for relocation. So you're right. Like there would be so many parameters, but I think it'd be amazing for a new building.
So
it'd be great for the city, but location is key because I will say I felt like I was maybe particularly too hard on the Rogers Center because I've had so many amazing experiences there. But it's easy to get to. It's in a perfect spot as far as if you want to go to some bars afterwards, years ago, I think I stayed at the hotel there once and, you know, had a big night out.
Which was a massive novelty also when it was originally built.
Yeah.
The idea that there would be a hotel and the prices they were charging, but people would pay for them because you could watch the games, right?
There were some people getting themselves in
trouble. Big trouble up there. Just creeping people
during
out.
During the game. And yeah, exactly. They forget that the blinds are open.
There's 30,000 people outside their hotel room with access
to
what's going on up there. But, yeah, there are things that I think would have to apply to a new building, whether you're going to build it in the same spot or build it on the waterfront. Based on our weather patterns and engineering in the 21st century, you have to have the ability to close the roof. You have to, right? Like, I would think it's a must.
Yeah.
And that is something that is doable. Like 30 years ago, it was doable with the retractable roof. But that novelty is worn off because it takes so long to close. And I think it's very expensive to close it and to open it up. And there's a logistical nightmare that goes into that. And they try to avoid it at all costs. I'm sure you could have a much more upgraded version of that that looks better, feels better, maybe opens completely as opposed to just half open.
Right.
And I think that could potentially be something that they'd have to look into.
But
right?
What because one of these ballparks, these new, kind of new ballparks, have that, Brian?
I believe the one in Minnesota has it, I think, because Minnie's on a similar weather pattern to what we have here in Minneapolis. And they just opened up Target Field a year ago, I think, 2 years ago.
Doesn't the Cowboys one, isn't that retractable too?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah, I believe so. And I think Minute Maid Park where the Astros play, I think so too because it's so hot. You know, I think you can open and close that. I'd have to refresh that and look that up for you. But it's totally doable in 2020. It's not something that you can't do.
It's almost something in this climate and this weather you have to sniff around on or else, like, the weather in end of March, April is a gong show.
I mean, or even sometimes into October if you're into the playoffs or the World Series into early November if it goes that long. You're really risking snowstorms or just awful weather that is not conducive to playing in or sitting in and watching for, you know, an extended period of time. So I think we lose sight on that. I mean, that is something that we take for granted, that you never have a ball game rained out at the Rogers Center. It's never happened.
That's true.
You know, you know if you bought tickets, you're going to see that game. The Dome might be closed, but the game's going to happen. You're going to be there for it. And I hope that's something they'll consider, and I'd be shocked if they didn't. Yeah. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
Not much. You guys talking about a potential new stadium, eh?
Yeah, that's what they're, I guess they were kicking tires on that before COVID hit. So
Part about that to think about is, you know, yeah, the roof is awesome and retractable and all that stuff, but they cost $1 billion. Like, who's paying for that?
That is where it gets sticky. I mean, the report in the Globe reported that it would be privately funded, and I think that was likely the approach, but prior
only
to COVID.
Approach.
It would be, but it wouldn't shock me either if, you know, prior to COVID, again, it was wink, wink, tax break here, tax break there, let's do this, let's do that, because these corporations are not dummies. They try to cut corners, and that's how they operate. But now, Ray, I mean, you know this as a Canadian. It doesn't matter if you're in Toronto, Montreal, Halifax, Vancouver. You trying to reach out to the government for some free cash, it's probably not going to go over so well right now. Probably not the best time to do it.
No, I can't imagine that, you know, like tax breaks for sports teams are high up people's priority lists right now. I mean, in Vancouver, they built the what's now Rogers Arena, but they built it privately because they couldn't get any money, but they got the land free. Well, right. The land is rammed between the SkyTrain tracks and, like, there's no room. It's not big enough for really a footprint of an arena. And the minute they built it, it was already a little cramped in the corridors. And now, of course, with the way arenas are, it's way too small. But unless they're going to get free land, where I can't imagine where that's going to come from, they're going to renovate Rogers Arena, right? Like, and so the, you know, the Blue Jays, that's like, it's a mammoth project, right? Like,
oh, it's huge. It takes years. And there's so much red tape, and like the government actually owns the land that the Rogers Center is on. When Ted Rogers bought the Rogers Center, he bought it for $25 million, but he only bought the building. And the reason he got that price was because it didn't come with the rights to the land. So there's some leasing issues there that might factor into where you're going to build your next stadium. And I don't understand how they could possibly build a new stadium down at the waterfront and just keep the Dome as like a historical figure. Who the hell's going to use it?
No, you're not. You're blowing it up.
You'd have to blow it up. You'd have to get rid of it at some point.
Historical figures are, you know, historical buildings are supposed to be kind of good looking, aren't they?
Yeah. It's not.
That thing, it's just not. It's a bunker.
Yeah.
But, you know, think about, Ray, how many, I guess, baseball stadiums have you been to throughout America or North America? Like, you know, Fenway, it's certainly, I've been there a few times, and I love the experience, but it's not like the greatest.
No, it's a dump. It's been around for 120 years or whatever.
Where the Cubs
just like
play,
Wrigley.
You know,
yeah, it's
Wrigley,
the same thing.
Like, but it's what comes with it, you know, the bars, it's the whole atmosphere, it's the whole experience that what it offers. That's really what you care about.
And they're not going to build, obviously, and I know you're not suggesting this, like a Fenway type of scenario or a Wrigley, but that's what I was saying earlier, was that with hockey arenas and basketball arenas, they're all basically the same. But if you go on the road in baseball, like I've been to AT&T Park in San Francisco, it is a remarkable
Isn't ballpark. That your number one?
Beautiful place.
Number yeah. one for me. And that's I walked beautiful. Out of there saying, I need this in Toronto somehow. And PNC Park in Pittsburgh, the same thing. It is beautiful. And it just – it makes the dome feel like awful. It makes it feel like a terrible park. And it's not. But when you compare it to the best in the business, it can't hold a candle to them. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's funny, like the charm and the appeal of those older buildings, you know, like Fenway and Wrigley and that, it's impossible to have because you can't build that park anymore.
Right.
Like, it's just, even the name, like it's Fenway Park and Wrigley Field. Like, they're like a park and a field, right? Like, they're little places, little mm-hmm. tiny places that have, co-opted the restaurants around the place. And, you know, Fenway's... basically, they shut down all the gates that used to be on the building, and they've kind of expanded, so all the entry-level gates are now including on the street. Like, it's really an amazing sort of deal that they had to come up with, because right. the other option's to tear this thing down and build another one, and I can't imagine anybody really wants that, although... I am, of the times I'm thankful I'm about 5'8", is when you sit in the seats at Fenway. Because if you're 6'1", oh man, you're like a folding lawn chair getting in there. Like,
yeah,
you're not fitting
it's
in
tight.
That.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure they've done surveys. I wouldn't be surprised if there were a lot of people in Boston and in Chicago that would be fine with a new building. And it comes down to whether or not you're a sentimental fan. You know, like I am not sentimental by nature. I love the gardens. I don't miss the gardens. You know, there are times where I'm like, it'd be cool to go back in there and watch a game. I don't need to go see a bunch of games there.
See, I thought the gardens was so awesome that I thought there would like a reno on the run kind of thing would have been awesome there. I just love that building. I thought it was a really unique place, but at the end of the day, it's about boxes, private boxes,
yeah,
restaurants,
right.
and yeah. that just it wasn't happening there. So, but I love that building.
Do you guys, I think one of the best setups for, you know, just location and everything is Philadelphia. You go to that area in Philadelphia yeah. where the rinks, the football stadium, the baseball stadium, like it's the sports atmosphere.
Right.
You
go, it is. It's there. Really cool, Jamie, but there's not really, you're not going for a walk after to a
no,
restaurant.
No, you're not. You're not.
They've done
you're
that
going
in Detroit,
in and you're
too.
Going out.
Detroit's yeah. got, they all play within like two blocks of each other, basically.
Right, right. Yep. It just, they created that, and you go to that area in Philadelphia, which isn't too far from downtown. You can drive down Broad Street or you can take the highway, but it's, you know, you're going in there, you know, for a sports experience. And those stadiums and arenas are fantastic. I don't know how you feel about it. Ray, you've been there, right?
Yeah, I think it's, I've been to a baseball game there and haven't been to a football game, of course, been in the arena. In the nine different names that rink has had.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah.
Whatever the hell it's called now. But what was really cool, you know, O was just talking about like a refurbishment of maybe Maple Leaf Gardens, how cool that would have been, but it comes down to boxes and that. I don't know if you guys were playing then, but when the Spectrum was still standing and the new arena was there, it was like Chicago Stadium and old Chicago Stadium. Like the old one fit inside.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so tiny.
It was like a toy.
That old Spectrum was no place to be sleepy at a 1 o'clock start.
Oh.
You get your face beat in. It was just, I hated that place.
That was one of the most intimidating.
Dark.
Oh, it was dark. It was like the fans were drunk. They hated your guts. It was
the other thing too. Remember, you had to walk down to the arena, like from the dressing rooms. You had to walk down that ramp. It felt like it was you were on a death march. You were going down there just to get the hell kicked out of you.
And guess who was waiting for you? The Legion of Doom.
Oh, disgusting.
Lindros, LeClaire, and who was the Renberg was the other guy. They were all
those
monsters.
Are the skilled guys, though.
Yeah, that was their skilled guys.
Exactly. Wait till the mammoth on the fourth line comes on the ice.
Well, I was going to say, before that, just prior to that, you'd get down there, and in warm-up, there was no room in the neutral zone because Chief Berube was there. He was straddling the red line, and there was Dave Brown knuckle-dragging along there, and you're like, oh, my puck go over the red line? That's not my puck anymore. I'll get a different one. Yeah. No chance
in
there.
You guys keep that. I'll sign it for you if you want. I don't need it back.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I'll never forget being terrified. I don't know. I'm sure you were there, Ray, when Hexie fired a puck. Ron Hextall fired a puck at Dave Brown's head during warm-up. And they're buddies, too. And then it was like nose-to-nose in warm-up. I never painted myself more invisible. I was at the back of that scrum.
Oh, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. I was behind you.
Yeah, there was one guy even more invisible than you.
Hexie was leading the charge. Our goal, he was starting that night. And he was he's trying to fight Dave Brown in warm-up. I've never been more afraid in my life.
But you hit on a good point, though, about how we remember buildings. And we remember them in the light that we want to. And yeah.
You're never going to get that ever again.
No.
Like, it's all cream puffs now. It's
right,
like, oh,
but even what you guys just said about the two different buildings being built at the same time, you're like, look at that one. That one's a palace, and we're playing over here. No wonder they're building it, is my point. I'll bet you if we walk through the garden, if you could get into a time machine and you walk through the gardens, you'd be like, what the hell is going on in here?
What is this place?
I can't move. You know, it's a trough. There's no urinals. There was one toilet
in the visiting dressing room to take a dump for 30 guys.
It was in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
I know.
And if you're having a crunch and the guys are getting ready, it was ridiculous. I remember we were about to have a team meeting, and all you heard was doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and somebody was on the can with a little video game, and we were all sick. And all you heard was and everyone was quiet. The coach was about to wanted to start the meeting, and this is all you heard: a guy taking a moose and his video game in the toilet, and he had no idea the meeting was about to start. Redonkulous, that dressing room.
Well, okay, I would say the one that maybe was as dirty and cramped as that was Chicago Stadium.
Yeah. Buffalo, so, the old Buffalo was
and
no
St. Louis's old building too. I don't know.
So, but Chicago had two stalls. And so one day we get there early and Steve Weeks was our backup goalie. So he has this idea. He gets a pair of runners and a couple of rolls of cotton. And he puts the runners like somebody sitting on the toilet. And he puts the cotton in the runners and he pulls a pair of hockey socks down over the cotton, locks the door, and then crawls out. So now there's only one crapper in the room. Well, it's getting close to game time. Guys are starting to have to go. And now Ulfie Samuelson's getting agitated. He's got to go. And so he's now yelling at the guy, come on, it's not a library in there. And he starts shaking the two stalls. He's losing his mind. He's shaking the stalls. One of the cotton legs falls over, and that's what anybody found out. There was nobody else in that other stall. Weeksy was peeing his pants. It was one of the great pranks of all time in this dirty, rotten, filthy locker room.
Just an awful, awful experience.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And you never walked in your bare feet there. Never.
Yeah. No, that says a lot about the sanitation of any building. But even just the idea of like a trough still existing is just, which I believe it's still there in Wrigley.
They still have it. I still believe they have it at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton. If you go watch an Edmonton Eskimos game, I believe there's still a trough.
I don't think there's anything grosser.
There really isn't.
I find it just to be the grossest thing.
It is so repulsive, and it's such a symbol of just idiocy, and everyone just goes in there like, I guess this, and there's always one guy who's buckled who like falls in.
Oh yeah, pissing all over the place.
Got his hand. But that's the thing. Things fall in there. You reach in and grab.
Yeah,
like,
some guy's phone
imagine?
Goes in. He's going to get it for sure. It's disgusting. Just comes out with every disease on earth.
I'm always amazed at the guy that's still eating his hot dog while he's at the trough.
Yeah. Just, hey, buds.
Yeah. And you're like, what are you doing, man? Yeah.
And it's very rare now. Like, you need one of those old stadiums, clearly. I know Wrigley still has it, I believe.
It's just sickening.
It's just a sickening experience.
And 7 out of 10 guys, when they pull up to the trough, they just let one rip. That's just a natural thing. 7 out of 10 guys, when they go pee, just let one rip.
It's just a cesspool in there. An absolute cesspool.
You got to love O's research on this stuff. That yeah. He's got a percentage
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's
how many times? The guy just has to take a leak, and it's just it's a horror show. It's every time. It's just yeah. like clockwork.
The trough. And you're just shoulder to shoulder with guys.
That is tough. Like, there's no it's private mess. Space. There's no private space.
No. There's no space because no one's policing anything. Like, a urinal, you know, this is your area. You have a this is it. This is your property right now. The trough, it's like, I think I can squeeze in there.
He's got a great grinder that's trying to fit in a space that's 2 feet wide, and he's 3 feet wide. He's sideways in there.
Right. That he's like, I'll just stay good. Back here and go. It's like, yeah. No. I'll move. We'll figure this out, but you're not doing
so
that.
Gross. It is. There is no yeah. private space whatsoever.
And that
no
monster place. Sets up shop and drops his drawers right to the ground. He means business.
Yeah. And you he's know. At 48 Miller Lite.
Oh, my God. And he's having a 14-minute piss, by the way. 35 Miller Lights. He's in there for 14 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is, but I got to say, which is better than standing there and you can't start it.
Yeah,
and you're getting a little nervous, and you can feel the heat, and you're like,
"Oh yeah!" It's like the guy behind you wants to smash your forehead.
Right? It's like the ninth inning. It's like, are you insane? Like, we're making a pitching change here. Let's go. Like, what's your problem? Yeah, those are stories that every guy's been through.
Well, hopefully, in the new building, if they build one, they'll have proper urinals and things. I think they'd get to that.
Yeah, hopefully, plumbing is a priority for them. I would assume it should be. I was thinking about this NHL scheduling and where we might be going here. And not that they've planned this, but we always talk about sports schedules. I remember this when we first kick-started these shows from home 9 months ago. Remember, we all laid out our ideal sports schedule for the Big Four sports. And I wonder if, in a way, the NHL is looking at this thinking, okay, we're going to play 48 games. It is what it is. It's a logistical nightmare, but we got to make it happen. But if you start towards the end of January, the NFL is basically out of your way. And the NBA has been up for a month, so the buzz of the NBA returning is gone. You know, if there's some sort of benefit to having a build-up where you are going to be noticed, you're coming back. Like, when they came back with the bubble, they came back, it coincided with baseball and basketball, and it kind of got lost in the shuffle, I would think, you know, down in the States. Where if you have an ability to say, hey, it's our week, it's our night, no one else is playing, or no one else is paying attention to what other leagues are doing, maybe from a marketing standpoint, that could be beneficial for the NHL.
Yeah, I except there's going to be so much unknown. Like, I'm, you know, just looking at the NFL schedule, you know, it was always Monday, Thursday, Saturday, or Monday, Thursday, Sunday. And now games are getting moved, and, like, this whole year is going to be a mess. Can't you see it like that? Like,
yeah, probably.
What you might think is your night, well, oh, that team can't play, or... Like, I don't even know how they're going to be able to really market it on a consistent basis, to your point. Like, how are you going to do that? I guess you do the best you can. And
yeah, it's all you can do,
people
right?
get hooked in, right?
Yeah. Like, you got to come up with a plan, obviously, and hopefully you can start on, let's say it's a Wednesday night. That's what they've been doing for years. And you've got four games or whatever it is, and you say, you know, hopefully it's only us. Like, no one else is going that night, and LeBron's not playing or whatever, and it's an opportunity at kind of marketing that we've made our way back. And then once you get started, who the hell knows when you're going to play, how it's going to play out, how it's going to look. Everyone's going to have to buy in and accept that there's going to be sacrifices made. And player safety is going to come up a lot, right? Because I wouldn't be shocked if there's a time in the schedule where a team's got to play four times in five nights, and they're like, why are we doing this? This shouldn't be allowed, but it's like, well, if we want to play, we want to get it in, this is what we might have to do. So
yeah,
I'm
looking at, like, the, you know, one team gets their backfield wiped out and they got to play, and then, you know, the Pittsburgh game got moved this week from Thursday to Sunday, and I think it's now Tuesday.
Yep, Tuesday.
Yep. it's the weirdest thing, and the guys, I guess, just, you probably got to shrug a little bit and say, okay, that's what it is. You're right, Brian. I guess they're going to have to, whatever you think your routine is, that's not your routine anymore.
Exactly. Like, get ready for 80% of the time it'll be your routine, but that other 20%, you can yell and scream all you want, but this is what's coming. and this is what's happening, and there's points on the line, so go get them. You know, like I wouldn't be shocked if, just based on scheduling and travel, with no fans in the stands, you might have to change your time and say, you know what, we can't play tonight. We're going to play tomorrow at 11 a.m. Yeah. So get ready.
Well, they did bubble, didn't they?
It happened to the Bruins. Didn't it happen to Boston? They were waiting because of overtime, and they pushed them to the next morning.
Yeah,
you're right. They were all sitting in the rink, and it got too late, right?
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, let's just hope it happens, and I think it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And once we start playing again, then hopefully the world is in a better place, you know, months down the road. All right, buddy. We'll leave it there. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again Monday at 5.
Yeah, have a good weekend, guys. We'll talk to you Monday.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Get to MapleToyota.com and experience the low-maintenance cost of driving a self-charging hybrid electric from Maple Toyota. Purchase in-person or online at MapleToyota.com. Make the switch. Drive a hybrid. All right, Richard Petty will join us. Get his take on just how much red tape is involved in building a new stadium, the steps that have to be taken, how much money we're talking, timelines, all that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of people in the city are kind of excited by the prospects of a new stadium. We don't know what the timeline will be, but that's a big, big moment that everyone can experience, right? Like most people in the city, I think, have been through the Rogers Center, whether it's for a game, an event, concert, whatever it might be. So catch up with Richard and get into that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Richard Petty coming up in just a moment. We should point out Al's brother went 1-for-1 in his picks yesterday, and this is a heartbreaking
buddy, you
scenario.
Watch your mouth, because he liked Washington, and you laughed him out of that pick.
That's my point. That's what
I'm
saying.
You're like, you're a joke, Al's brother. Dallas is going to crush them. He comes back later in the show, and he goes, I'm going to flip my pick. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys. And I was like, he got a stamp pat, man, but he didn't
test. It was a test. I was testing Al's brother because I said earlier in the week, it is time to ride the wave of Al's brother. His intuition is going to start picking winners.
He was 34 under at the No Balls Open.
He buckled.
I got to take the Cowboys.
Yep. Got no confidence when I mean, he was 0-10, but he battled back. And
I picked up a win with Houston at Detroit, right? So he got a win, and now he's back on the loser train because he also took the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But we're thinking about Al's brother today. We'll get him back in a little bit later on.
Sure.
Get his take on a big Sunday nighter. Mitchell Trubisky is back in for the Bears. So
they got
to
do
something. Dude, the Bears to me are so irrelevant. They're going to win some games, lose some games. Probably finish with a winning record, probably make the playoffs, but they're going nowhere from there with that quarterbacking situation. Whether it be Trubisky, whether it be Foles, I don't know how you can be a fan of that team. You got a great defense, but you're not going anywhere, nowhere.
No, they haven't had a quarterback in like 30
years.
No.
How do you not have a quarterback in 30 years?
Well, you take Trubisky instead of Mahomes or Watson is what you do. Like they took
That would be devastating. If I'm Kate Burness or anyone that's a Bears fan, I would just look at Mahomes every time. Who was the other guy?
Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Oh, my God.
They both went after Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, my God.
That's tough.
That would make
sickening.
Me throw up. It,
sickening.
It would make me throw up.
Yeah, sickening. And they traded up for Trubisky.
Oh,
that's
no.
the best part.
Pass.
That's
no,
the
that's
best
tough.
Part.
That's
we
tough.
Better move up and really get him because we love this guy. Mahomes and Watson, let them drop the Kansas City and Houston. And now you got to live with that. And you're going to watch those two guys, Mahomes in particular, for the next 15 years, maybe turn into the greatest quarterback of all time. And Trubisky will be, I don't know where he's going to be. He'll be in his alumni jacket watching ball games at Soldier Field because he won't be still playing in the NFL. I can guarantee you that. all right, we have a guy on the line. This is the perfect guy to catch up to or catch up with, considering the story in the Globe and Mail today that maybe Rodgers, the Jays, looking into building a new stadium in the future, because Richard Petty was the president and CEO of Skydome back in 89 through 94. And we know that he was president and CEO of MLSC and everything they went through with building the ACC, now Scotiabank Arena. And he knows the red tape. He knows what it takes to get things done in the city. And he joins us here on Overdrive. Here is Richard Petty. How you doing, Richard?
I'm great, guys. And boy, there's lots of red tape.
Yes, there would be, right? Where do you start with a project like this? If you're the Rogers family, if you're the Blue Jays, and you determine, okay, we think we want a new stadium, who do you have to call first?
Well, if a Sky Dome is part of the solution, you've got to talk to the people who own the land, which is the federal government. Now, I'm going back many years now to remember running the Sky Dome, but the deal was that they had a 100-year lease on that property for a specific purpose, to put in a baseball stadium. So to, you know, they don't own the land. So if they're going to put something that's non-baseball in it, that the idea is to build offices and condos that make a lot of money, the government's not just going to say, oh, yeah, that's fine. We'll just pass over. We'll just change, you know, scribble some notes on the agreement and off you go. So one of the first calls, and I'm sure if there's any truth to the story, that's already been made in probably multiple meetings. Then you start thinking about, okay, we can do this, but where the hell are we going to play for the next 5 years?
Yeah.
Because you know, this thought that they tear down half of it and you play on the, you somehow play baseball on or near that location. If you looked at it, when we built Sky Dome, there's nothing around it. Now it's surrounded by condos. It's got the aquarium. It's got us, Maple Leaf Sports, up to all the way out to the east. There is no land left for that. So they've got to find a new site. And, you know, building a new baseball park is going to take time. And they got to find that site. It's not like downtown properties are available. There's condos in every corner. So that's a big issue. And then, okay, so we're building a stadium. We've done a deal with the land people. Now we got to tear down Sky Dome to do this. Sky Dome is like 30 stories high and like 6 acres of cement.
Right.
You know, you see those great pictures of they put dynamite around an old stadium or arena and push a button and it collapses. That won't be what you can do to Sky Dome. It's built to take a nuclear weapon. And so then you're surrounded by residential. How do you take that down and be environmentally correct with noise and dust and whatever? So this is a project that is so complex. And, you know, it's possible. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of money. Let me reemphasize, a lot of time and a lot of money.
Yes.
And it's possible, but boy, it's a long shot, I think.
You mentioned time. So they decide that they have a location. They're going to build a ballpark, restaurants around it. Are you saying it's 5 to 6 years for the completion of this once they get the green light or go ahead or whatever they want to do with it? That seems like a lot of time, doesn't it?
Well, to get a green light to, let's assume they're not coming back with a baseball stadium to that place.
Well,
not,
I don't think they can. Gonna... I don't think they can, Richard, because no. Like you said, you can't put your baseball team in Guelph playing at the University baseball stadium. Yeah, their team is on the rise right now, and they got great young players. They can't just put that on hold right now.
No, you can't assume that in this day of ultra-competitiveness in sports franchises for fights for fans and season seat holders and sponsors, you can put it on hold for 6 years and come back and everything's okay. So they've got to build another stadium. And then, you know, so let's say they've got to build a new stadium. That's going to take them 3 years, I'm going to say. Then they've got to tear down Sky Dome. I'm not Ellis Don or those construction companies. They know better than me. Let's say it's a year and a half. We're now up to four and a half years. Then you build the thing. Yeah, 7 years is quite possible if everything goes well.
Wow. We're chatting with Richard Petty, the former president and CEO of MLSC. Go ahead.
Now, the baseball fans don't care about the second phase of this. They just want a new stadium. So maybe the Blue Jays would have a new home in 3 to 4 years. So from a fan, and they don't lose their home. They play in Sky Dome right to the end. So for baseball fans, it was kind of like the Leafs. You know, somebody asked me, what was it like to bring the Leafs down to, was that real disruptive to bring Air Canada Center? No, they were going from a place that was a dump to play hockey in and none of the amenities to move into a new, better location. The baseball team would be happy. And they'll be happy to go to, I'm assuming it's a dome stadium. It's a grass stadium that has a dome that is closed
retractable
when it rains.
Exactly. And that
like
happens
Seattle
in other parks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that in other parks, and engineering in 2020 is that much more advanced as opposed to back in the 80s when they even built the dome. With Richard Petty, the former president and CEO of MLSC, also the former president and CEO of SkyDome back from 89 through 94. So the report in the Globe also indicated that this would be privately funded. But I think there's a lot of people skeptical of that. You know, if you're looking for some sort of, I guess, tax break or some sort of advantage via the government in the era of COVID, it's tough to pull that off anyway. I think it's almost impossible now. But how would you go about that? Like, who do you need behind you?
I agree with your conclusion 100%. The debt, the federal debt, the provincial debt, the municipal debt after COVID is going to be huge. You know, Skydome was kind of a game changer. You know, I think the original plan was 380. It topped out at 580. Private business put in 150 million into it. It sold a couple times. It was kind of the last of the big projects in Ontario that anyone had an appetite to put public money into. Now, Calgary, Edmonton have done it since. There's still some appetite across Canada. Personally, I've gone on the record for over a decade saying I really don't think government should have any business giving pro teams money or helping them build stadiums and arenas. They're billionaire owners with really wonderful franchise appreciation. Now, I'm a little biased because, you know, we paid all our own bills and paid full taxes at Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. We spent $1 billion.
Did you make that money back, Richard? Like, how quickly did they make the money? Because everyone knows MLSC is sitting on just a fortune now compared to even where you were in 99. So how long did it take for you to make the money back?
Well, we built, let's do a little bit of math here, and it'll be a little rough. We built a stadium for $360 million. The Raptors were $125 million American. What were the Leafs worth in those days? $130, $150. Now, what's that collection of assets now worth? $5 billion?
Yeah, something like that, yep.
So I really don't think, I mean, in the States, it's tragic. It's theft when a franchise, you know, talks a St. Louis or something into building them a wonderful stadium, and then they leave town, and they leave them with a bond still haven't paid off. So I think it's highway robbery, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of appetite for that at a normal time, and as you pointed out, post-COVID, less than of appetite. They've got to fund this themselves.
Oh, and I think that's exactly what they're well aware of as of today. But I am always curious to find out how quickly they feel like they can make money, because clearly that's a part of the discussion here. You don't build a new stadium and pump all that money into it as a charity to the city. You know, you're doing it because you feel like you can make money and even more.
And Rogers is a publicly traded company, so the shareholders care. Now, you know, they tried that. You heard, you know, Calgary tried to stick up the, you know. Ken King and Brian Burke were out there when they were doing that. I was speaking out against it. Burke texted me and said, "You're not helping."
Yeah, well, they threatened, right? They threatened to leave.
The late Ken King was pissed off at me because I'm speaking out against it. But, you know, they blackmailed the city. They didn't get the deal they got because the mayor, Nenshi, stood up to them. But, you know, a lot, when you're losing a franchise, it's amazing what politicians will do. Now, the interesting thing here with TFC, with the Leafs and the Raptors, you've got so many franchises. I'm not sure when you're a single sports franchise city, materially, you have a big gun to their head. When you're in a town with lots of sports entertainment options, you don't have the same gun to their head.
Right, and yeah, the threat of leaving town is just—it would be laughed out of the room. I mean, it's not happening. Rogers is not moving on from the Blue Jays, so they can't even use those same bullets that other ownerships have done with other cities around the country or around North America, for that matter. But I'd be curious, Richard. We're chatting with Richard Petty. Obviously, Scotiabank Arena has exploded in terms of what we can expect from. New buildings with the condos down there, with real sports down there, the surroundings. But what might be the next layer to that? Let's say the Blue Jays are looking to build something down at the waterfront. Where does your creativity take you in terms of what you can build and how you can make it even more profitable, but more importantly for the average fan, a better experience? You know, where else could we go in the future?
Well, I'm not sure I'm the person to answer that because, you know, I used to – when I chased the basketball team for Larry Tannenbaum in 92-93, I visited 21 arenas. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of little things in Air Canada Center that were best practices that I learned from arenas across North America. When I went to the new arena in Detroit a couple of years ago for the Red Wings, and I walked through it and I watched, wow, there are so many. If I was still running SkyDome, there were so many best practices there you'd take. So I'm not current. I haven't gone that arena and stadium tour, but there's no doubt there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, especially with all the digital stuff. You know, signage is completely different. Entertainment's completely different. Food and beverage, it's got pretty creative over the years. I mean, by the time I left Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, we had 7 restaurants. I mean, and they're all from, you know, 11 to, as you said, real sports. So there's a lot of creative people. I don't think they'll have any trouble coming up with creative content.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Great stuff as always. Really appreciate the insight, Richard. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Okay, you bet. Bye now.
There's Richard Petty, the former president and CEO of MLSE and president and CEO of the SkyDome back in 89 through 94. So, yeah, I mean, he kind of was a little bit skeptical on whether or not this was even possible, but it does seem like the idea of keeping the team playing here while you build the stadium, the only option would be to build on a different site, right? It's built down by the water, which is what everyone assumes they would do, is buy land and set up shop down on the waterfront, which has potential to build up our waterfront for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, your old bar might have to get ripped out there, Hazy. Cabana.
Yeah, there's that name has gone. How many different names have been down there?
At
the docks.
I've never been there in my life. Cabana, they call it. They go down there.
It was called
the
docks forever, and it was.
Oh, that Cabana used to be the docks?
Yes, that was it. Oh. It was called the docks nightclub. And to get a cab out of there, people just fist fights everywhere trying to get the one cab that would drive down. It was the worst.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not sure where, again, they would set it up. There's a lot of waterfront available, but you need it to be accessible for people that take transit.
Yeah, you're not going north. You're not going to Markham or anything like that. You just can't do it. You need
can't
to
happen.
Keep it. You need to keep it right in the heart of the city.
I'd rather they just keep the dome. Like, you know, if you're going to upgrade on the dome, it's got to be downtown. You can't go anywhere but downtown. Not interested in that, personally.
Grappler chiming in with Rebel Nightclub as well.
Rebel, that's, I think, what it was called or maybe is currently called. Is it Cabana now? I don't know. I haven't been there in 10 years.
I've never been over there. I just seen it on social media.
Down on the docks, there's
like
a show. I've seen a couple bands down on the docks there.
Yeah, there's a concert hall down there. I saw the Hip played there years ago.
Yeah.
It was actually awesome.
I was there, Hazy. Me and you were in the same facility, pal.
There you go. I was down there. That was when some guy threw a vintage Wendell Clark jersey on the stage, and Gord Downie looked at it. He's like, why would you throw me this? Like, this is like a vintage Wendell shirt. Why would I want this?
He was rattled about it. I think you brought that up on the show.
I did. I remember, like, 9 years ago I brought it up as content. I'm like, why would you throw your Wendell Clark vintage Leaf jersey onto the stage of your favorite band?
No.
What do you think they're going to do with that? Throw it in the garbage, probably, and move on.
No kidding. There's only one word to describe why that happened. Booze.
Yeah,
booze,
of course.
Exactly.
Buckled. Thinking, this Gord Downie's going to love me. Here's my Wendell jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably
you
didn't happen.
You go to a concert down there, you got to get buckled. You got to enjoy yourself.
It's a gritty little spot. It's a pretty intimate spot. It's not a big spot.
Nope.
Like a good spot to see the Hip. It was awesome to be down there.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, final hour coming up. Scott Salmon will join us from Hockey Canada. The Recklaws are going to join us in about an hour. Your favorite band, Noodles.
Yes.
You're basically a part of the band.
Yeah.
I'll tell you more about that. You're the mascot. That's right. You're gritty. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so thanks again to Richard Petty for taking us down the road of running and operating the SkyDome back in the day and being a part of MLSE building the ACC at the time. And another thing that would factor into all this in terms of the future and maybe where sporting events are going is gambling being a big part of that, right? And it was announced this week that single-game betting, we believe, is coming to Canada. The federal government is finally putting forth some sort of legislation and a bill that we believe will be passed and eventually
implemented. What was the hold up on that? Like, why the single game? Why? What were they against single game betting? What is the deal with that?
Well, it was like the wording of, I guess, the gambling bill of the past that allowed for parlays because the provincial government benefits from that, like OLG and others. But I'm not sure. I guess it was a moral issue maybe in the past. They thought that if you start betting on one game, it's going to get out of control, or a lot of the leagues weren't accepting of it either, right? Like when the NBA came up here, David Stern made sure that Proline did not allow for gambling on the NBA. And they had to take it off OLG's website at the time. They you couldn't go into a store and bet on NBA games. So I think a lot of it was driven by the sports. Baseball obviously has been anti-gambling forever. That has changed recently. So I think there was something that factored into that. But I don't know. Like, why allow people to bet on parlays and not single games? Like, it's never made any sense.
I don't get it. Like, what, somebody's not going to just get rinsed on a parlay and they're gonna get rinsed on one? I don't know. I don't.
You're
going to
make more money, likely. You have a better chance of winning the bet in a single game bet than a parlay. We all know
for
that.
For sure.
I mean, the probability alone. So that could have been a part of it. We want to bilk people. If you want to gamble, you got to gamble like this. And as a result, the money's going to come pouring in. But, like, society has changed a lot in terms of the way we approach gambling, right? Like, it's just a very different world now. And I think the government realizes that people are gambling anyway. They're doing so in the shadows. So if you make it legal, you're going to benefit from that. You're going to make a lot of money off it. And maybe that's how you start paying back the bills that we've been racking up here because of COVID.
You got to find a different way to build out your income stream. That's mm-hmm. what it is. So why not? You know, expand it. If you're going to gamble, it's still, like you guys were saying, it doesn't make sense. You can gamble on this, but not on that. Why not just expand it?
Like, exactly. And then props. And then once Pandora's box is open, then it's go time. So we'll talk more about that into the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050N on TSN 2.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.